on the inside. He said, but I gotta die so that you could be endued with power. So when he died, the Holy Ghost came out and it came inside of me. I wish I had somebody to say, I got the Holy Ghost living down on the inside. I'm not an ordinary person. I'm a saint of God. I'm a child of the King. Come on and shout yes here. Shout glory. Hallelujah. Give God some praise and tell your neighbor, neighbor, you're mighty quiet. But let me tell you what I know. I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know, I know he's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I asked earlier the saints, how many of you have to deal with enemies? Now, I'm glad that you were honest enough to say that, and I know that sometimes we don't always deal effectively with the enemies the way that the Lord would have us to deal with them, and sometimes we don't identify them or recognize them for who they are and what they are. And you've got to understand that demons and demonic activity happens in different and unusual ways, and sometimes, again, though it is always the devil's desire to destroy you, to kill, to steal, all of that's always his design, always. He never changes. His plan never changes. His mode of operation never changes. He does what he does consistently. The problem is we don't always recognize his doings, and we don't always recognize through whom he does it. One case in point of that, biblically speaking, is when Jesus had asked the men, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And all of the disciples were, again, privy to this question. And they said, well, some say Jeremiah, some say Josephus, or Joshua, or Elijah, and on and on and on. And Jesus said, yeah, but who do you, the ones who follow me, who do you say that I am? And then Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, you've got that right, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, when you read that, 8 verses later, Jesus is telling the disciples he's going to go, going to have to suffer Calvary, die on the cross. Peter jumps up and rebukes Jesus for going to Calvary. Jesus turns around and looks through Peter straight at Satan and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, what is the point of that? Your enemy is not always the person that the enemy is using. You didn't get that, did you? Sometimes everything that happens that's evil is connected and controlled by a spirit. Whatever that evil spirit is, whatever those actions are, it's never the person, but the power controlling the person. That's why when Jesus got Peter straight, the record was he told Peter, "Satan desired to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, here is a paradigm that we must understand. Because, you know, different levels, you have different devils. And the devil exposes himself greater on lower levels, but he hides himself on higher levels. And what you've got to understand is, if the devil has used you in some demonic activity and has used you in a way that has brought down the brethren and has brought down the kingdom, what the devil also wants to do is to keep you and everyone around you from detecting who he is in you, because if he's ever detected, you can be saved, but he will be destroyed. So what you need to understand is God can use a demonically possessed person who has been saved and delivered from demon activity, but the demon is certainly going to be utilized in the ultimate destruction that God has planned for Satan and his angels. In other words, it's just a matter of time for Satan and all of his folk will be totally destroyed. And all of us, listen at this, at one point in time in our lives, were controlled by him. So the devil is upset that he ain't got us no more. And that's why he wants you more than he wants the person he still possesses right now. And he gets in any way he can. And one way he gets in is through our enemies and the way that we don't know how to deal with them. Now, again, I want you to know you might not need this lesson tonight, but the person on the side of you may. So we're going to let the Lord have his way in there. We want to talk about how to handle your enemies. How to handle. I know you already know, but this is a refresher course for those of you who know. For those of you who don't know, we're going to see what the Lord has to say about them. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 38 is where we shall commence our reading. This is historically known as the Sermon on the Mount, but actually it is the Lesson on the Mount, because as I say all the time, the word speaks for itself. If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 2 says, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." The word doesn't say, "And he opened his mouth and preached to them, saying." It said, the word said, he opened his mouth and did what? If you have red letter edition, you look at verse 3 of chapter 5, and you go all the way through that chapter, and then you go to chapter 6, and you go all the way through that chapter, and then you go to chapter 7, and you go all the way to that chapter, with the exception of two verses at the end of chapter 7, and all of that is red letter edition, and it is the continual flow of what Jesus began to teach. So it was the sermon not, but the lesson, yes, on the mountain. Now, there's a difference between teaching and preaching also fundamentally. Preaching challenges us, it stirs us up, it inspires us, but teaching is designed to change you. And teaching generally took a little more time, because principles and precepts and all of these things were connected with the teaching lesson. Illustrations were connected with the teaching lesson. And preaching, you don't have time to stop and explain. You just like hit it, catch it if you can, or move it. But teaching is slowing it down so that it can sink underneath the skin, because preaching challenges us, but teaching changes us, and you need preaching and teaching to be whole in your spirit man. That's again why the word says, how can they preach? except they be sent. You can't hear without a preacher. But then by the same token, it is important to understand you've got to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed. Some of you all won't quote no scriptures because you don't even know what you're quoting. Some of you don't even understand the scriptures that's been quoted to you. Some of you won't witness because you ain't got much to say. That means you're a worker that's ashamed when it comes to speaking about the things of Christ. And that's why God has said in his word that his people perish for a lack of knowledge. It's not just enough to know it. It's also enough to know it and know how it operates. To hear the word is one thing. To do it is a whole nother level. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, Jesus talks about this hate issue and this enemy issue. Look at what he says, if you will. He says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But, which is this conjunction change here, which means that he's changing what he's saying and he's changing the trend of flow here. He's liking the reality of the Old Testament reality, the law, etc. The Old Testament law made clear, if you kill my dog, I have a right to kill your dog. You pluck out my eye, I have a right to pluck out your eye. Now, it was very specific, because if I killed your dog, you can't kill my cat. And it sounds humorous here, but notice what he says in the text. It had been said, you heard that it had been said, an eye for an what? An eye for, in other words, if you do me something, you could not do me more than I did you. It had to be even. Say even. Even. That meant, again, if I did anything to you and you were going to retaliate, you could not do more to me than I did to you. So here, Jesus is bringing up again things out of the Old Testament law. He says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now, this is all revolutionary because he's speaking about the gospel and grace. Grace is the new dispensational age that Jesus is ushering in. He came to fulfill the law, to complete the law. He is doing away with the law. Only he can do it in fulfilling it. In other words, completing it. Now that it is complete, he has the ability now to change what he wants to see. That's what his life and his sacrifice does for the believer today. It frees us from having to live under the law and not being under grace. Now, one of the things that he taught and the disciples and the apostles taught in the New Testament was you're going to have to choose whether you want to live under the law or live under grace, but you can't do both. That means you're going to either pick one side and live to the fullness of it, or pick one other, or pick the old side and live under the fullness of that. One of the things that was clear about the law was the law had no life-giving substance in it. It was only designed to tell you what you couldn't do. And listen, if you did keep the law, your best compensation for keeping the law was that you lived a sin-free life. But it had no rewards beyond this life. The gospel and grace was able to take you wherever you were and then elevate you to a place and point, not in and of yourself, but by the grace that God gave to his son, and his son who gave his life, shed his blood, and stood in our place so that we could have what he switched places for. That means his liberty, his authority, his freedom, his righteousness, and all of these things so that he could bring us back into right relationship with his father. Having said that, we are, as Paul has made clear, what we are by the grace of God. That means no matter how good I am or what I have or what I do, it's all been by his grace as I have accepted him and allowed him to interact and flow in my life. Having said that again, Jesus is introducing a whole new concept. This is not the kind of stuff they're used to hearing. This is totally against what the Old Testament law stood for. Look again in verse 43. Ye have heard. He keeps referring back to the law, that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, again, he just got through mentioning to them the fact that under the old law, you could do them whatever they did to you, get even with them. But he's saying, no, that was said in the Old Testament, in olden times. I'm telling you a new thing. I want you to operate differently from that. And so all of the things that he raises as issues and concerns, they are now out of grace. Now, here's how he justifies this. If the life you live is not your own, because he stepped in and paid the price for your life, you now live his life in you. It means you can't tell him what to do with what belongs to him. If you take grace up, you got to live it according to his rules. But you can't live under grace and still work under law. No, he shot my dog. Sue, where my rifle? Mary, where my hammer? I'm going to knock his dog head off. You can't do that now. You got to say, Lord, now what would make him do a thing like that? He's obviously got issues. That dog didn't do him nothing. I'm praying for him. That's the way. Now, it don't mean I ain't going to be mad. But the truth of the matter is, I don't have a right, nor do I have a recourse to do the same thing that he did to me, because I'm under grace now. And so you understand and you begin to walk into that truth. Look again at what it says. But I say unto you, verse 44, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Is that natural? Is that normal? Somebody curse you out, do you tell them God bless you, or do you want to say your mama? You another one. It takes one to know one. You see, that's the natural tendency. I mean, and do we do good to them that hate us naturally? No, indeed. That is not the natural course of man. And so Jesus is going against all of the things that men have naturally and even under the law adhered to. And then he says, pray for them which despite. That ain't somebody that's just lightly using me and misusing me. I mean, despite, I mean, they ain't trying to hurt me. They're trying to take me out. And he says, pray for them. Lord, don't you mean pray on them? I wish the brakes run out with them doing 100 miles an hour. You know, is that kind of thing. No, he says, you pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. Look at what verse 46 says. 45 says, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Now, in other words, what he's referencing this to is the fact that your Father doesn't act like that, and since you belong to your Father, you ought not act like that. Because you are judged by who your Father is. And remember when Jesus was talking to some of the Israelites, and they were talking about Moses and all the rest of that, and Jesus had to come and tell them, he said, you're liars and murderers because I know who your daddy is. Satan himself. And as the saying goes, the fruit don't fall far from the tree. You've got that lying, murdering spirit in you. So therefore, you can always tell your origin by your many times attitudes, actions, behaviors, and patterns, etc. What is of God has a tendency to duplicate God. What is of the enemy has a tendency to duplicate the enemy. That's why the word makes clear, you know, you either one way or you're the other. It ain't no in between. You either light or you're dark. Lightness, darkness. If you turned off the lights in any dark room, the dark room will then comprehend that whole room, that space. But when you click the lights on, the darkness flees. Light and darkness do not mingle in the same space at the same time. It's one or the other. And so look again at what the word says. Verse 45 again, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans or sinners the same? For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye love them which love you. You know, it's easy to say, I love you because you love me. But it's harder to say, I love you with the love of Jesus. Because that means, I know you don't love me, but in spite of you not loving me, it doesn't change how I feel about you. I am held responsible not for how you love me, but for how I love you. And God's not going to say to me, well, you know what? You really told that enemy off. You got her straight. You got him straight. You really got down on that level and told him how you felt. Now, he ain't going to be pleased with that, because those are the actions, attitudes, ambitions, and activities of the unsaved acting out of the unsaved reality. But if I'm saved, there ought to be a difference in my response. So then when I do it the way Jesus would do it, how many of you saw the movie The Passion of Christ? I think that's been one of the greatest depictions of the greatest suffering that has ever gone on, and that does not fully comprehend the true suffering that Jesus suffered for you. Let me give you an assignment. If you have not seen the movie, see it. See it. You ain't got to buy it. You can rent it. Blockbuster has it. But get it. Now, let me tell you why you need to get that, and I'm not being funny here. Because there is no, and I've watched many of Christian movies about the crucifixion of Christ, there has never been a movie more clearly, closely related to how you can understand what he went through for you. And see, the next time you think living hard, living right is hard, taking the little mess you take is too hard, the little stuff you go through to be saved is too much, get the tape and watch it and see what he went through for you. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. And when you see that, I promise you, whatever hell you're going through, you'll be like, that ain't nothing. Bring it on, Satan. Because if Jesus went through what he went through for me, surely I can take this little stuff that I'm going through for him. And so you again begin to see the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has for. Look again at what the word says, verse 47. And if you salute your brethren only, you speak to those that you like and those who are considered Christians, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans or sinners do the same? You know? Yes, dear? Well, let me ask you a question. When you became saved, did you wake up the next morning and was still saved? Okay. Now, here is what you need to know. You're not doing it. You ain't going to wake up tomorrow morning, the next morning, and 3 years from that, changing your nature. Jesus changes that. And so that means you simply then trust him. That's why I say you got to love your enemy with the love of God. Because it's natural for me to gravitate to those who celebrate me. It's natural for me to back off and turn down and speak evil of the folk who hate me. So that's all natural nature. What he's talking about is supernatural nature. So when you take on the life of Christ, it's no longer me living, but him living on the inside of me. And when he comes to live on me, on the inside of me today, that is today, tomorrow, forever. And listen, the more I yield to him, whether it's all today or whether it's 5 years from now, the change comes when I do my part, then he does his part. So all I have to do is say, Lord, help me. He'll keep your mouth if he can't put nothing good in it. He'll keep you from saying that, I wish I had a, give me a cookie. That's good in Jesus' name. Now listen at this. Sister said it takes a lot of prayer. You're right, especially when you deal with us. Yeah, some of y'all be singing. Steal away to Jesus. Yeah, Lord. But I tell you what, it's those kind of folk that keep you even closer to God, that keep you ever in his presence. I want to deal with conduct toward another Christian or not. It's the way you act, not the way someone else acts with you. I can't control my enemy. Don't want to control him. But I am responsible for my actions. And so when I recognize that, then I, again, am under warrant to do what God told me, not what my enemy is doing. Romans 12, verse 17 says, recompense, that means to repay, to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, here is a growth process, Sister Linda, that you need to realize. Once you come into Christ, you begin to recognize where you are, and you also begin to see your growth as you grow in him daily. Now, there are some things that, you know, oftentimes you used to hear. You don't even hear that much these days. But in the older church, you used to hear folks say, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. And praise be Jesus, many of us can say that about a lot of things in our lives. Amen. But there are still some things that we used to do, we still do. Amen, lights. But then there are still some things, listen, here's the growth and see it. There are still some things we used to do, we don't do as often. Is that not true? Because there is a concerted effort. Listen, I know this is my weakness. I know this is my problem area. I need to really focus on this. I need to really spend some time in prayer and meditation on the word on this so I can be strengthened in this area because this is my weak area. Now, once the Spirit of God reveals my weak area, he also provides word and his spirit to be able to strengthen that weak area because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I need to put some word in to strengthen where my weak area is. Now that's a growth process, but until I get to where I'm going, I need to stay out of the place that I know I'm weak at. If I'm trying to quit from drinking, I don't need to stop at happy hour where my crew is. I need to say, look, I'm going to check y'all later because I can't come there, man. I had a rough day and, you know, I might just go back and slip right back into my old habits. That's my weakness. If that's my weakness, I need to recognize that and limit access to the things or to the people who cause me to fall in my weakness. Listen again. If I'm on a diet, I don't need to pass by the bakery. Jesus, fresh brick bacon. Their mouths go to salivating and stuff. You ain't gonna get a whole donut, you gonna get the donut holes. I mean, come on. I could keep on going, but the point is you know your weak area and you're foolish.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. Partner with this ministry. and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement